When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Basketball Conference, the ACC Football Podcast. My name is Joey Weaver. He is Mike McDaniel. Mike, we are here. We are kicking off Season 7. It has been seven long years since we started this show. Can you believe that?
Jesus, hot start.
And we still haven't figured out how to talk to each other properly. It's great.
7 long years dealing with you giant pain in the ass.
Well, it took you 5 years to shake my hand, and it's been about a year since you've done that since then. So, you know, I understand. I get it.
It's been about a year. Yep, that's something correct. Like that. I haven't seen you in a year somehow. That's right.
Mike, we're kicking off season 7 here. We have officially closed the book on season 6, which was the 2021 season. And we are ready to dive full tilt into the 2022 football season that is coming up here in a couple of months. We wanted to start out with this episode as a kickoff, and we're gonna start by talking about some win totals, and by some of them I mean specifically everyone's win totals.
Yes, right, like all of the teams.
Yep, and then if you stick,
let's start
around,
with Akron.
Well, no, yeah, Akron. I have a lot of opinions there. They do have a game against Bowling Green this year, who, you know, we have opinions on them as well. where's my soundboard? I'm not ready for this.
Yeah, no.
We're going to talk win totals, and then, Mike, if the people stick around a little bit later, we're going to talk about preview season this year, and we're going to do things a little bit differently for a couple of reasons that we will get into, but we're not going to tell you about that just yet. We're going to make you stick around and hear what we had to say about all these teams before we get into that. Is that fair?
Yeah, fair.
All right. Well, good deal. Do you want to go ahead and get started here with these win totals? Anything else before we get started?
Let's do it.
Okay. So, Mike, these win totals are still maybe a little stale, we'll say. Well, they're maybe about a couple weeks old. We got an email with them. This is not up to the minute, but I think they've served as some pretty good fodder for conversation. And so we're going to structure these by going from the most projected wins to the least, and we have all 14 ACC teams plus Notre Dame on this list. Mike, are you ready?
I am ready. Let's do it.
Mike, highest win total on the board. Who is it?
The Clemson Tigers.
Any guess of what their win total is?
10.5.
10.5. That is correct. Clemson at a 10.5 win total, coming off of a 9-3 regular season, if I'm remembering that correctly. So this is projecting a little bit of a bounce back, and in my mind, that's what I'm seeing in this number, is basically a question of, do you think Clemson gets back to being Clemson that we've known them to be in previous years, or does the more vulnerable version of this team return in 2022 that would result in them, again, losing maybe 2 or 3 of their regular season games? And of course, this year, they don't have Georgia on the schedule. So that's a very different calculation to begin with, but they do have to go to South Bend and play Notre Dame. So there is still a pretty high end out of conference game there. Mike, any thoughts? Clemson at 10.5.
So I was looking at the schedule earlier today when I was preparing for the podcast, and the one thing I noticed off the top, you know, I looked at the 10.5 win total. I was like, all right, that's too many, right? Because I'm thinking, they had a rough year. They got to 10 after the bowl game, right? So they were 10-3 last year, technically. Mm-hmm. Didn't make the ACC championship. DJU struggled. They have Cade Klubnik coming in at quarterback, right? So if DJU struggles, they want to make a change, they can. So on the surface, I'm like, all right, I think Clemson should be better. But at the same time, it's like 10.5. Do I really want to bet 10.5 after how I watched their offense struggle through most of last year relative to kind of what they've been for the entirety that we've been doing the podcast? So I looked at the schedule and immediately I was like, well, this is doable, mm-hmm. right? They don't have Georgia, like you mentioned. They do have Notre Dame in South Bend. That's a tough game. NC State's going to be much improved, but you get that game at home. Clemson does have a crossover with Miami. Pretty big game, right, considering what the expectations are for Miami with Mario Cristobal, but you get that game at home.
I was going to say, that's in Death Valley.
So that's important. So I'm looking at the schedule, and, you know, the toughest games for Clemson, you know, to be honest with you, are at home. And the Notre Dame game notwithstanding, but, you know, in terms of, like, ACC contention, the ND game's moot. But we're talking about win totals here.
Mm-hmm.
10.5 is an interesting number. I mean, I can't find three teams on the schedule that are going to beat them.
You only need two.
I can find two. But I can find two.
Mm-hmm.
They can lose to NC State. They can lose to Notre Dame. And then, you know, you're under there, right? So if I had to bet, first of all, I'm not going to bet this. If I had to, I would lean under just because I think that's where the value is, especially coming off of what we saw last year. So, I'm going to go with under here. Under, I think they'd probably finish honestly like 10-2 or 11-1. I think they probably drop one along the way. I expect Clemson to be better. But I think in terms of the win total, I think you gotta hedge the under here, even with a favorable schedule, in my opinion, getting your tough games at home.
Yep. I'm with you. Give me the under. I kind of feel pretty good about this one. I've made a couple comments basically since the end of the season and such. I'm not particularly bullish on a couple of the hires, you know, the decisions that Dabo Swinney has made, some of the strategy and the philosophy that they're using right now in this day and age in college football. So I think part of that is what tells me. I think this is a point in time where we're going to start seeing Clemson come back down to earth a little bit. They're not going to be this unstoppable force. They're going to have a couple of tight games. The two that you mentioned, again, NC State, even though that's in Death Valley, and then the trip to South Bend, those seem very losable. Mike, there's another game on this schedule that sticks out to me other than Miami. And I'll just give it away. We talked to our buddy from Boston College there, Kevin Carpenter, a few weeks ago. Remember that game is the red bandana game. It's the homecoming game for Boston College.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, you get healthy Phil Dracovic and a couple of the transfers that have gone in there, I mean, that could be a very dangerous situation for Clemson as well in that particular spot. And it's a week after the NC State game too, and a week before traveling to Tallahassee. So a little bit of a sandwich spot. I think that's on the table. So if you're asking me, is Clemson going to lose at least two games this year? I'm going to say yes. And maybe I'll look stupid for that, but I'm with you. I think this is more of a 9-3, 10-2 Clemson team than a 12-0 one. Just based on what they look like last year and some of the other decisions that have been made off the field. But I have, I have been wrong before, so this would not be the first time.
Yeah. I think they're going to have issues with their transfer policy, like you mentioned, but I'm not sure if that comes into play yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that it won't. I think it will if they continue kind of running their team like this.
Yeah.
But, I'm not sure if this is the year it happens. With that being said, I also don't know if there are 12-0, 11-1 Clemson either, right? So that notwithstanding, like, I'm in agreement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, again, they do have a better, deeper roster than the entire rest of the conference, right? So there is still that. It's just I think the gap there has closed in a lot of cases. So I don't think this is a thing they're just going to have total walkthroughs all 12 weeks, you know, or
right.
10 or 11 of the weeks before they go play the ACC championship and then make the playoff. It, you know, I think it'll be at least a little bit tougher if nothing else.
Right.
All right. Under for the both of us, Mike, next highest win total on the board.
next highest win total on the board is NC State.
I was going to go with Notre Dame, if we want to include Notre Dame. Okay, or we can just move on to NC State.
Notre Dame,
9.5. Feels a little low, but also kind of a bit of a reset year after the departure of Brian Kelly and such. What are you thinking here?
And I'm pulling their schedule up right now.
This comes as a shock to you, but they do get Clemson at home.
They do get Clemson at home, like we mentioned.
As has been reported, yeah.
The one game I do know they get is Labor Day weekend. They go to Columbus.
Going to the horseshoe.
Not to say that Notre Dame would go in there and not perform well, but that's not exactly a easy game to open up with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 9.5. I mean, what a weird schedule. They have Cal coming to South Bend. You know, you get your Stanford game in the middle of the year, which means you get USC at the end. Right, because you're going to Southern Cal. Those games flip-flop every year. You either get one team at home in the middle of the schedule, or you go out to California to finish the year against one of them. And this year, it's going to USC. You've got to play Boston College. You got to play BYU. That'll be an annoying game at home. But all that being said, this feels like 10-2. But then again, like, how good is USC going to be in year one with Lincoln Riley?
In that's game number 12. Game.
Yeah. Like, that's the swing game for me, because essentially what needs to happen then is you need to have no upsets. You know, you got to win the games you're supposed to win and then pick off either one of Ohio State or Clemson before facing USC if USC is going to be good. Mm-hmm. So, 9.5, I'm going to go under. I'm just going to say 9-3. Notre Dame will be good. They'll be Marcus Freeman year one. I expect them to be still very competitive, good team. But that's a lot of wins with pretty tough, with three really tough games on there.
Yep. I'm going to go under as well. I'm with you that this feels like 9-3. Marcus Freeman, first-time head coach. Again, a little bit of some changeover on both sides of the ball, if I'm not mistaken. You know, coming off a pretty good 2-year run there where it was a playoff appearance and then a near playoff appearance. I just think this is due for a little bit of a reset. And so I think, especially with some of these games on the schedule, you know, the trip to North Carolina could always be a little squirrely.
Yeah.
You know, again, they get Boston College late in the season. Again, a healthy Phil Dracovic, who knows? So I think there's enough opportunities here for them to lose, and I've got enough questions about Notre Dame going into the year that, yeah, give me the under. I think 9-3 is pretty reasonable. They'll be pretty good, but 9.5 I think is just a shade high.
Yep.
If it was 8.5, I would feel really conflicted with what to do.
I would too. Yeah, because 9.5 I think is I think that 8-9 win range is pretty good just considering the schedule. Not to say, yeah, Notre Dame's 8-4. Like, sure, they can go 8-4, but I think that's a better team than that, better roster than that, but that's a really tough schedule.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. Mike, you mentioned NC State at 8.5. They are one of three teams with a win total of 8.5. Let's start with the Wolfpack.
Yep.
We just recently got done talking to our guy, Derek Taylor, about his Wolfpack. Both said feeling pretty bullish on the Wolfpack. How bullish are you feeling? You feeling 9-3 bullish?
Oh man, this is going to be an interesting year for NC State. I mean, we were talking with Derek last night, or I'm sorry, whenever you previously heard this, we definitely did not record two podcasts in a row. That's not something we would do.
We would never.
Well, and the thing that he talked about was, you know, whenever fans of NC State are bullish on the Wolfpack, they tend to underperform. And whenever NC State is not expected to really do much of anything, they outperform expectations. And I feel like NC State, though, with the schedule, with the team they have returning, I really just feel like this is going to be a really, really good NC State team this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got a couple tough games, right, but the schedule sets up pretty well. Going to Death Valley is going to be a pretty good test. Derek was talking about how East Carolina is a really tough opponent to play, and you have to go to Greenville this year to play them. But that's a game NC State should win. The Texas Tech game at Carter-Finley is intriguing, but that's a game NC State should win, right? That's a year one situation at Texas Tech. So, I mean, I look at the rest of the schedule, and, I mean, name the losses. Like, I'm having trouble doing that. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, you play UNC on the road, rivalry game, end of the year. North Carolina, I think, will be a pretty decent team. But NC State's better. So that's a game NC State should be favored in if all goes according to plan up to that point, right? At Louisville could be a tough game, but NC State should be favored. Boston College, tough game, but you get them at home. NC State probably will be favored.
Yeah.
So I just go up and down this schedule, and I have trouble picking out losses.
Probably favored in at least 10 of those games.
Right. And the number is 9.5.
Mm-hmm. Wait, no, 8.5.
8.5. Yeah. I mean, I'm going over. I think they're an easy 9-3.
I agree again. I agree. And it does give me pause hearing Derek talk about how you just can't really rely on NC State to do what you expect them to do. They're kind of like Auburn in that way, maybe.
Right.
So it does feel a little risky taking the over here and expecting them to pull through and be as good as I expect them to be. But, I mean, like you're saying, if they're going to lose four games on this schedule, I'm not totally sure who all they'll be, assuming they can just play consistently from week to week. And it sure seems like, I mean, between Devin Leary at quarterback and all the returning talent around him on offense and the guys on defense, especially that linebacking core, should be really impressive.
Yep.
I mean, I think they've got enough veteran leadership and talent and capability to play consistently week to week and go at least 9-3. Maybe even get to the promised land, Mike, and finish 10-2. Heaven forbid.
We don't see that very often.
Yeah, well, at some point you are what your record says you are.
And twist that knife.
I take no pleasure in saying that, Mike, but it is what it is. I'm trying to be right here. So I'm going with the over. Don't let me down here, Wolfpack.
I mean, this would be the funniest 8-4 ever.
Mm-hmm. Especially if they beat Clemson in Death Valley and then go 8-4.
It's finish 8-4 anyway. Can you imagine them beating Clemson in Death Valley, losing like on the road to Syracuse against like first year Virginia Tech at home?
Oh.
At that was just for me, Joey. Mm. At Louisville, at UNC, there's four. We'd even name Wake.
I want to say don't sleep on East Carolina. Sorry. Don't sleep on East Carolina.
Correctional Carolina.
Going and playing that game in Greenville. But I also don't think that their roster is like really particularly ready to hold up for four quarters against NC State, even in week one. So probably not that big a deal. Probably.
Right.
Over for both of us. Mike, two other teams with an 8.5 win total. Guesses on either one?
You said 8.5 win total.
Oh, come on. Boy. Somebody we think is going to be really good. They got a new coach.
Miami. Number one. I'm trying to think of number two, though.
The Hurricanes, 8.5.
Yep.
This is they've got a road game in week three at Texas A&M where they will certainly be an underdog going into Kyle Field. I do not expect them to win that game. The question is, if I got to find three more losses on this schedule for them to go under this win total, I mean, with as good as Tyler Van Dyke looked for a lot of last year, hopefully getting a little bit of some improvement both at both coordinator spots, and that's the kind of thing that, again, Miami's got a pretty good roster from a starting standpoint, especially when compared to a lot of these teams on their schedule. I mean, you're talking about the out-of-conference is at Texas A&M, but otherwise it's Bethune-Cookman, Southern Miss, Middle Tennessee. Like, that's 3-0 right there. You're going to go 3-1 with that loss to A&M, most likely. And then, can you go 6-2
right
against the ACC? Carolina at home, at Virginia Tech, Duke at Virginia, Florida State, at Georgia Tech, at Clemson, home against Pittsburgh. The Clemson game is one where you're not going to be favored going into Death Valley, unless Clemson is kind of in shambles at that point somehow, some way.
Right.
So, man, I'm struggling with this. This is a good number, I think, for Miami. I think probably right on between 8-4, 9-3, something like that.
Yeah, I'm going to go 9-3 because of quarterback play. So I'm going to go over here. I mean, the thing I struggle with, though, here with an 8.5 number is that I see two, and maybe this is a fault of mine for calling Clemson a surefire loss, but I feel like Clemson and A&M are two almost surefire losses going on the road for both of those games. It's going to be pretty difficult for Miami, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the scenario where, like, you know, the only way Clemson's not favored in that game is if they're in shambles. I mean, I don't think they'll be in shambles, you know? Like, even last year where, you know, we talked about, oh, yeah, Clemson's not what they were. We got to that point in the year and we were like, wow, that's weird. Clemson still won 9 games anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're not going to be an easy out at home. But then again, I look at the rest of the schedule. I mean, North Carolina, probably a decently tough game. Get them at home. You go to Blacksburg year one. I mean, that's a good time to catch them on the road. Duke's going to be really bad. At UVA could be a tough game. Like, that's the one where I think could really swing the over-under.
Could be a weird one, yeah.
Miami always plays weird games against UVA, too, yep. You know.
And then a week later, Scott Stadium.
I mean, a week later, Florida State. So that's like the look ahead game, right? Where Miami should out talent UVA, but mm-hmm. at the same time, it's a week before a huge rivalry game, yeah. And Cristobal really going to want to win that one. So, yeah, man, it's tough. I'm going to go over though. Like, I think Miami's got the talent. I think they got the coaching staff in there to really change the culture for the better. I think we actually see Miami get back to kind of. I'm not saying like Larry Coker, where they're like going 12-0. College football is different now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Cristobal is definitely the right guy to kind of change the culture and get the buy-in and kind of get this program with how talented they are kind of playing towards their peak. So I'm going to go over. I think they win 9 in year one. So I'm going to go with.
The year one impact with a guy like Cristobal is going to be the thing to watch. And I'm going to go under. Here, I'm gonna say they finish 8-4. Like you mentioned, I mean, A&M and Clemson, I'll pencil those in as losses for now. Again, both on the road, both teams that have better rosters than you. Probably the only two teams on this whole schedule that have better rosters, both on the road, both figure to be top 10 programs, I think.
Again, yep.
Who knows with Clemson, but I think there's a couple other losable games here. You know, Florida State and Pittsburgh, both at home, but both definitely games you could lose. Georgia Tech, as bad as they've been, you know, two of the last 3 years you've played them and lost one and I think won the other one by 3. So it's not like they've had the easiest time against them for whatever reason. You mentioned North Carolina. Like there's ways that they can lose, and I think between this Miami program and what it's been, and let's not forget Mario Cristobal. Not his programs have not been immune to the random clunker game that they lose that they have no business losing.
Like Utah.
Yeah, that's well, and doing that twice. I mean, just getting thumped. That's all completely on the table. So I'm gonna go with the under. I think that's gonna happen to him at least once, maybe twice. You know, that kind of thing. But I think 8-4. Probably more reasonable than 9-3, even though, again, I really like the quarterback situation. I like a lot of what's going on down there, and I think it'll mostly work out, but
it's a good number.
Yeah,
so
I don't think this is an instant, like, fix everything overnight kind of higher either. So, all right, under for me, over for you. Wake Forest, the Steamin' Deeks.
I was going to say, which 7.5 win total are we going with next?
It's 8.5.
Oh, 8.5. Oh, Wake's at 8.5.
Wake is at 8.5. And Mike, when I first heard that, I was like, that's too high. No way. Like we're overvaluing Wake after they won the division last year, all this stuff. And then Mike, I look at the schedule and we should probably, it's probably time that we sit down and we have a little bit of a conversation about Wake's out of conference scheduling. This is where, you know, you're asked to, I'm trying to think of like something going back to school where you, you're totally half-assing something like, yeah, we had to schedule a Power 5 opponent, so we scheduled Vanderbilt.
Yeah, like in the longest yard, you know, they're like, yeah, schedule a crap-ass school like Appalachian State. Get the living shit out of them, get our confidence up.
their out-of-conference is VMI, Vanderbilt in Nashville, for what it's worth, Liberty, and then Army in the middle of October. Army, obviously not a slacker program. Liberty has been pretty good. So I think it's like the name value here maybe is a little worse than the actual on-field value looks like. But that I mean, I figure for Wake, that should be at least 3-1, if not 4-0 out of conference.
A couple things here. Number one, the schedule I'm looking at shows Liberty is the homecoming game in September.
In week 3, wow. You're having your homecoming game?
Yeah, so that's odd to me.
Sure.
Week 3. Also, like, shout out Wake Forest. You're scheduling an SEC team that you play against, and they're going to make you look like the SEC team.
Yeah.
So that's always good.
That'll like, be Wake, a bit of a gratifying game to watch, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Not just Wake's for Wake fans, but just ACC fans everywhere.
Yeah, but Wake's going to win that game by, like, 4 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is – I'm with you. I mean, I think 3-1 – maybe even 4-0. I mean, I think the one game I would look at that is potential, you know, has potential to be a tough, real tough game is Army. Liberty, you lose Malik Willis. That's gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a big loss at quarterback. He did so much for them. I guess a Hugh Freeze offense will still be, they'll still be good and functional and all that. And I expect Liberty to still be a bowl team. But, like, are they going to be, like, back half of the top 25 good? I mean, you know, that's a different question. I think Wake Forest has capability to be that, right? So,
and Liberty coming off games at Southern Miss, home against UAB before that. So,
yeah. So, both teams should be 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a really interesting game. And I think we've talked about the 8.5 win total. Like, that's a pretty big one.
Yeah.
In terms of, hey, that could be a swing game. Because you look at the ACC schedule, you know, back half of September, early October is a tough stretch, right? Because you have your 3 non-conference games at the beginning, home against Clemson, at Florida State, home against Army before the bye week. I mean, I think to get to 8, you got to be at least 5-1. Because I look at the back half.
I mean, worst case 4-2, because Clemson, Florida State back to back with, you know, Liberty and Army sandwiching. You could reasonably go 2-2 and not be too upset about that. I think in that stretch,
Army feels like a body blow game. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. We're playing Clemson and Florida State. Now we got to play a team that runs the option. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Like that's not an easy 3-game stretch.
Luckily, we know that Wake Forest can give up 50 points to Army and win by 2 touchdowns. Like
that's true. Yeah, that's true.
We have seen that with our own eyes.
Yeah. It's like the line can't be too high to bet the over. It's impossible.
I think I'm going to go under. I think this is a bit of a sell high point with Wake Forest. And I think they'll be plenty good. And this one feels like I could be wrong. They could go like 9-3 with Sam Hartman in year 6 and some of those receivers and everything else they got going. So I think that's on the table, but let me just play the odds and take the under 8.5.
I mean, there are 7 games I think they can lose and you can still have a winning record and go under,
mm-hmm.
Right? Like Clemson, Florida State, Army, Boston College, Louisville, NC State, UNC, all losable.
And all in a row.
I mean, you got a bye week after Army, right? Kind of right in the middle before mm-hmm. you host Boston College in late October. But I mean, that's a tough like 8-week stretch if you're including the bye. I mean, I'm with you. I'm going to go under. I think at least right now, before we preview them, I think they're an 8-4 type team.
Mm-hmm.
7-5 at worst. I mean, I'd be surprised if Wake Forest finished 7-5. That feels like the floor to me. With Hartman coming back, the offense.
I mean, kind of the opposite of what we were saying about Miami. Like, Wake is a team, too, that's going to probably win at least one game that we kind of don't expect them to all year. Dave Clawson has done a really good job of doing that most every year of pulling a rabbit out of the hat one week and jumping up and beating someone they shouldn't. So that's got to be considered as well.
Right. No, I agree with you.
So, all right, under for the both of us, but plenty of potential for either direction. Let's keep going, Mike. 7.5. We have two teams with a win total of 7.5. Guesses.
Who do we want to go with first, Joey? Do we want to talk about UVA?
We can. First of all, it really ruins the guessing game when I send you the lines beforehand and line them up in order of what we're going to do.
I gotta scroll through and decide. I gotta decide which schedule we're gonna pull. It's just a good podcast, Joey.
Virginia at 7.5. That number seems high to me. I'm ready to fade the Cavs coming into this year.
Love that.
And Tony Elliott, and I mean, they get Brennan Armstrong back, and again, a lot of that receiving core is coming back, but. I mean, this team had some issues last year and finished, I'm trying to remember, was it 6-6 in the regular season? Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, defense was horrible.
They were 6-6. I think this is probably a step back before a step forward situation with a new head coach and everything. I don't think Tony Elliott and that whole staff come in year one and improve on what Bronco Mendenhall and Robert and I and those guys had going. So. Just straight up, like, give me the under. This is probably one of the ones I feel the best about. I think Virginia is a bit of a reset year, and I'm not expecting them to be particularly good as we sit here.
You hate to see it. Mid-June. Yeah, you really hate to see it. But more than that, you love to see it.
Tragic, yeah, for you in particular.
Yeah. Bummer.
I mean, Mike, as we say, though, my soundboard is not really working. That's what we say. Anybody? Nobody? Soundboard? No, nothing. All right. Well, we'll try to reset that. You start talking about the Cavs.
Virginia's awesome.
There we go.
I actually disagree with you.
Really?
I do.
Is it because Virginia's awesome?
It's because they're not going to lose a game in the first 5 weeks of the year.
You sure?
I mean, pick one.
I think Illinois could be a little feisty, and I think Syracuse could be a little feisty, both on the road.
At worst, they're 4-1.
Okay.
You had Coastal Carolina late November. And it's not really, really good Coastal Carolina anymore. It's not the same.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, Georgia Tech is not going to be very good. And Pitt is, I mean, it's Keaton Slovis, right? So, okay, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the show before. Like, he's got a lot of Max Brown in him, as I've alluded to. Mm-hmm. So, and then you get Virginia Tech at the end of the year in Blacksburg, which I understand is like, you can never bet on UVA to win that game, but it's year one.
Yeah.
So you tell me they couldn't potentially get to eight and four.
I mean,
Brennan Armstrong,
you make a compelling case. I mean, it's again, you open Richmond at Illinois, home against Old Dominion, at Syracuse, at Duke.
If they go 5-0, Joey, it's a wrap.
It pretty much is.
Three more after that.
Yeah. I mean, you'd be 2-0 in the ACC. Yeah, you only need three more.
I mean, you're putting a lot of faith in Illinois.
It's also entirely possible that they finish the game finish the year on a 5-game losing streak. And I don't think it's out of the question that they finish the year on a 7-game losing streak. I'm just saying, like, I mean, yeah, you start 5-0, you could finish 5-7. Like, I think that's on the table. And yes, I realize that game number 7 is Georgia Tech, but that's in Atlanta. It's on a Thursday night. And Georgia Tech, like, again, total changeover of the coaching staff, got some transfers came in this offseason. Like, I know what they've been, and I'm not you know, not going to bat form, that they're definitely going to be better, but they could be. Like, that's possible. And if they are, then
really
it's
funny. It's just going to be really funny reflecting on this when Jeff Collins saves his job on October 20th by beating UVA.
I mean, it's more than when you look at Georgia Tech's schedule and you're trying to find six wins. Like, Virginia's the third easiest game on the schedule. Like, and that's not exactly a slight against UVA. It's more just like, again, we'll get there. I mean, Virginia's final seven games, again, in a row, you've got Louisville at home, then a bye week, Georgia Tech in Atlanta on Thursday night, and then Miami, North Carolina, Pittsburgh, Coastal Carolina, all at home, and then at Virginia Tech to close out the year.
Yeah.
Tell me which one of those games that they are definitely, unquestionably going to win. Like, I don't think there is one.
There is not one. That's correct. There's not one.
Other than probably Georgia Tech. Who knows? Like, they'll, you know.
Oh, yeah, Georgia. Well, yeah. I mean, Joey, come on.
But even then, start 5-0, beat Georgia Tech, and that's 6-6. You could easily lose those other six games. Like, that's on the table. So, I'm just saying. Give me the under. You going over?
No, I'm not. Going under. I talked me into it. Into it, out of it, depending on what we were looking at it.
You were really hoping to take the Virginia win total over. I can tell.
I really don't see a loss in the first 5 weeks. And are we sure Louisville's going to be better?
No. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. See what I'm saying?
We're at 7.5 wins. We haven't talked about Louisville yet. Like,
I mean, this UVA, we can talk about Louisville next if you want. This UVA defense is still pretty bad, though.
So. Oh, no, we've got a while before we get to Louisville's win total as we work our way down. So we'll get there.
God.
All right. Under for the both of us for Virginia at 7.5. Pittsburgh, 7.5, as you mentioned, Mike.
Gross.
I think we're probably going over here, right? And I am skeptical about Keaton Slovis and basically everything that happens on offense in a post Mark Whipple, Kenny Pickett world.
Yep.
Not to mention that they weren't that great on offense before last year either. Like, it was kind of a 1 year lightning in a bottle situation. No Mark Whipple, no Kenny Pickett, no Jordan Addison. Keaton Slovis, as you mentioned, might be Max Brown 2.0, which not exactly a compliment.
No. I mean, Max Brown was a former five-star recruit, and that was just objectively awful. I mean, not even good. I mean, he was pretty bad. All right. I mean, interesting out-of-conference schedule.
It is. It is very interesting.
I mean, yeah. Okay. Let me start here. West Virginia... So, first of all, backyard brawl.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
This is what we needed.
Like, before we even talk about this, backyard brawl.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Rivalry game. Most of these kids weren't alive the last time it was played.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee, week two. That's a loss. They're going to lose that game this year. They should have lost it last year.
Yeah. They're going to lose that game. They're not going to be able to score with Tennessee.
No. Hendon Hooker could throw for like 5 bills. RIP. He's nothing's wrong with him. He's just not on Virginia Tech anymore.
Mm-hmm.
At Western Michigan, dub. Rhode Island, dub. Okay,
I mean,
so we're sitting.
We're just chalking up that win at Western Michigan. They got beat by the Broncos at home last year.
It's again. They should have beaten Western Michigan. They should have lost to Tennessee. It's a wash.
Fair.
So Pitt's now in a scenario here where they're going to be 3-1. And then they have Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech, two very, very winnable games.
Let me go win.
Both of them
win.
At home. Right? So let's say that they're 4-1. You want to say they're 4-1?
Four and two or 5-1? Because that'll be 6 games in.
Oh, sorry. Let's say 5-1.
5-1, yeah.
Let's
okay,
say they
sure.
Let's say they split West Virginia and Tennessee to win the others. All right.
I think that's reasonable.
Okay, fair enough. Bye week. At Louisville, at North Carolina, home against Syracuse, at UVA, home against Duke, at Miami.
Mm-hmm.
there's not a game in that back half of the schedule that I look at and say it's a definite loss.
Yeah. I mean, at Miami.
Tough game.
Yeah, that's the
definite
one.
Loss.
Going to South Florida and playing that game at the end of the season. No, not a definite loss, but won't be favored.
I'm going over.
I think there's a chance that at Louisville and at North Carolina, you're not favored. Probably favored against West Virginia at home. Probably not favored against Tennessee at home, if I had to guess. That one
over.
Could be a small spread. Over 7.5, I think 8-4.
We got to get to 8, Joey. And if they go 5-1 to open the year, you basically just got to beat Syracuse, UVA, and Duke. That's 8.
Let's do something scientific here. Let's go look up Pat Narduzzi's record as a head coach. So his first 2 years at Pittsburgh, he went 8-4, 8-4, and then 5-7. I believe 7-5. Yeah, 5-7, 7-5, 7-5, 6-5, and then last year went 11-3.
Yep.
I think that 11-3 is a little bit of an outlier, as they call them in statistics.
I would agree.
I think it's an outlier.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
I think this thing comes back down to earth. I think they lose a couple of these games they're probably not supposed to. Give me the under. I think they'll go 7-5. 7-5 is probably about right. It'll be close. I think 7.5 is a good number.
It is a good number.
I'm saying they come out, you know, one win short of going over the number, but not by much. I think that's pretty spot on. You got the over, though?
Yep. Yeah, I got the over.
All right. I won't try to talk you out of it.
I think they get to 8. Well, I mean, Jesus. What are we going to do?
What would we do in a world where Pittsburgh wins 8 games? What would we do, Mike?
Guess what we did last year, right?
That's right.
They won.
Same thing we do every year,
Pinky.
They won
the Coastal ACC title. What a world.
Mike, I'm not going to try to talk you into taking the under on Pittsburgh. I am going to try to talk you into going to section103.com.
I was going to say section103.com.
It is the internet's best place to go buy all sorts of Georgia Tech apparel, Mike. They've got t-shirts, they've got hoodies, sweatshirts, all sorts of good things, something for the whole family, men, women, children, everybody. They've got stuff with the official Tech Gold. They've got the official ATL logo, all the official word marks. For some reason, these things are hard to find elsewhere. I don't know why, but you can go find them at section103.com. It's actually very easy. Mike, they're also always innovating, coming out with new things. They most recently came out with a set of stickers. Really cool. I really look forward. I need to go get one of those, the ATL logo that they recently dropped one of the stickers for. That thing looks really sweet. They've got another one that has some icons that seem like they line up and suggest something along the lines of perhaps, I don't know, fight, win, drink, get naked. I don't think that's an official cheer. I don't think that's necessarily sanctioned by the school. But if you want a sticker that seems like it might imply those things, it's at section103.com. Mike, they can get 10% off their first order using promo code GOACC at section103.com. Steven sent over one of the Section 103 stickers to me. It is really sweet. It is, as with everything else, it looks great. It's got great quality. It is sitting right on my work laptop. I'm proud to tell all my coworkers about Section 103 and getting discounts. So go do that. Go check them out. Section103.com. Use promo code GOACC for 10% off your first order. All right. Mike, let's keep going. We have 4 teams, and this is an all-time like ACC thing to say. We have
math
is hard. We have 4 teams with a win total of 6.5. Start guessing which one. Where are we starting?
Let's start with the Hokies.
We're starting with the Hokies, Mike. Why do they have a win total of 6.5?
Because they have a new coach and the team's not very good.
No, I'm saying, why is it that high? Shouldn't it be lower than that?
No. It probably should be low. Yeah. probably should be.
Out of conference, at Old Dominion, home against Wofford, home against West Virginia, on the road at Liberty. There's multiple, I would say three of those four are potentially losable. Like,
fucking kill me. Sorry.
Like,
grab that.
I mean, you could win them all, but like 1-3 is not completely out of the question.
Won't be that bad
for a rebuilding like first year head coach program. I'm just saying. Does that say the Wofford game starts at 11 a.m.?
It does.
Eastern time, because I'm in Central time and seeing a 10 a.m. start time.
That way, if Virginia Tech loses, I can kill myself before 3 o'clock.
God.
Be good.
You'd
kill myself.
Please don't do
dirty
that.
Games.
Please don't do that. 6.5.
CBS music.
Oh, yeah. 6.5. I'm leaning towards this. This gives me some 6-6 vibes.
Okay, that's totally fine. I think they make a bowl game.
Yeah.
It's a good number. I think they're a 6 or 7 win team.
Yeah,
that's where they're at.
Feels right.
I mean, for as bad as Justin Fuente recruited, like, that team was still capable of making bowl games. I mean, I get that they have like a 5-win season with COVID, and they had a 5-win season in 2018 that really turned into a 6-win season when they got Marshall at the back end of the year. Remember when all that happened? They had to like reschedule Marshall because of the hurricane game. So, I mean, he had two losing seasons at Virginia Tech, but he always took Virginia Tech to a bowl game. So, reasonably speaking, outside of the COVID year, throw it away. Reasonably speaking, Virginia Tech should make a bowl game with what I hope is a better coaching staff and talent that is unproven, but, you know, still capable, right? So I'm going to go 6-6 as well.
I was going to say, you were making a face trying to decide that I don't think I've ever seen you make before. You were very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can make that same face again. It was that.
That was pretty close, actually. Please don't do that anymore. That's a weird face. All right.
Good.
Under for both of us for the Hokies, but it's like a 6-6 close under for 6.5 wins.
Don't want to hurt myself, you know?
don't do that. Mike, they are joined at 6.5 win total by the Boston College Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Home against Rutgers, home against Maine, at UConn, at Notre Dame. That's 2-2 at worst in the out of conference. More than likely, probably 3-1. Mm-hmm. I like the over here. I think Boston College, I mean, again, you get a healthy Phil Dracovic. I think they've still got Zay Flowers there. Like, you've still got some guys there that can make something happen. I think last year they again, kind of cratered a little bit when Dracovic goes out with an injury. But if he's back, he's healthy, he's looking like he did in 2020, I think Boston College has some real upside here. I think they could be a sneaky, really good team in the Atlantic Division this year.
Yeah, I'm going over as well. Yeah, the Rutgers game, don't sleep on that one.
Rutgers, like, should be fine.
They should be, yeah, that they're not going to be as objectively terrible as they've been the last few years. They were better last year. There were certainly signs. Virginia Tech reminded everybody that they can make anybody look good in that bowl game. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think it's probably a 3-1 non-conference stretch. Don't lose to UConn, obviously. But yeah, I mean, I look at the conference games. I mean, that stretch, Florida State, Louisville, Clemson is going to be pretty crucial. I mean, you're going to try not to drop two of those. And then back half of the schedule, I think, gets a bit more manageable. You have a pretty tough 2-week stretch at NC State, at Notre Dame in November.
Yep.
I mean, that's tough.
Yep.
But, I mean, outside of that, I think the schedule's doable. You know, the tougher games are kind of spread out across the schedule. You know, Clemson's a pretty tough game, obviously, but then you get a bye week before going to Wake.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that works in BC's favor. That at NC State, at Notre Dame stretch is tough, but, you know, you have UConn and Duke, two games in a row to kind of prepare yourself for that big game against NC State. So
yeah,
I like the way the schedule lays out for Boston College. There are some tough games in there, but I'm gonna go over with you. I think it's like an 8-4 game.
That's kind of what I'm thinking is some in the 8-4 range. Bit of a step up, and I think last year was a bit of an aberration. I think they'll be quite a bit better this year. And as I start looking at some of these games on the schedule again, I mean, I think at Virginia Tech in week two, I figure you're probably favored in that game. You're definitely favored against Maine. You're definitely favored at UConn. You're definitely favored against Duke at home. You're definitely favored against Syracuse at home to end the year. Like, there's a lot of these that, you know, I think would almost enter kind of what I would call layup territory for Boston College. Right. And right. It gets you to like 5 or 6 right there off the bat. So I think they'll be good enough to get there. So both of us taking the over with the Eagles. Mike?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Also at 6.5, got to talk about the Noles, baby. Florida State, out of conference, home against Duquesne, Duquesne, as it were.
Duquesne.
They get LSU on the I'm just going to go ahead and call it a road game. They're playing that in the Superdome, like an hour away from Baton Rouge, so that's a road game. You get Louisiana at home, and then you also get Florida at home to end the year. That's a pretty tough out of conference schedule. I'd say you're probably going 2-2 at best. Could be 1-3 if that Louisiana game gets a little squirrely, and I think that's mm-hmm. on the table. Obviously, you know, Billy Napier no longer there with the Cajuns, but now he's with Florida, so you'll see him the week later anyways. I think you're probably looking at 2-2 out of conference, and then the question becomes, can you go 5-3 in conference? Probably on the table. I mean, mm-hmm. you got road games at NC State and home against Clemson, kind of in back-to-back weeks. You get, Georgia Tech after a bye week and a letdown game, so I think the Jackets probably win that one, but... you got to travel to Miami. You got a road game at Syracuse after that. It could also be a letdown game spot. So, I don't know. It could be some danger, but I think we're expecting that Florida State is building something here and improving, and I think you see some progress year over year. I think they can get to 7-5 here. I kind of like the over.
You really got to talk yourself into it, though.
Yeah, when you start lining up, you know, which games, and I think it probably ends up being a good number of toss-up games in the division.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. I mean, we're in the stretch of these previews here with these schedules where there's a lot of toss-up games that go either way. I mean, I look at this. I mean, LSU probably a loss. Although Florida State played a wonky game against a Brian Kelly coach team last year and almost came away with an early season victory, right? But for all intents and purposes, that's a road game. What's up?
What a game that was.
That was a crazy game. Yeah, that was nuts. I'm going to go under. I have a hard time seeing him get to 7. I do think Florida State will perform. Like, I think the team on the field will be better. It's kind of how I felt going into the year last year. Like, I think the team will be better, but I look at the schedule and I just, like, realistically, I mean, they have 2 bye weeks, right? A little weird. They play in week 0 against Duquesne. LSU, probably a loss, right? Off week. At Louisville, home against BC, home against Wake, at NC State, home against Clemson. I mean, does Florida State win any of those?
I would expect that they should win at least 1-2 of those games.
Right. That's the only way it goes over.
Is it possible that they lose them all? Sure.
I mean, if they lose it all, the bet's dead, right? I mean, they lose it all, the bet's dead. Because you go to the second half of the year, you still got to play Miami and Florida. You should – and the Georgia Tech game will not be – you get it at home, but that won't be like an easy game for Florida State.
They lost that's it kind of, just in kind 2020. Of like 2 years right. ago.
it's not crazy to say that
Florida State actually technically on a 2-game losing streak to Georgia Tech, it turns out.
God.
Because the one before that, if I'm not mistaken, was the Miracle on Techwood Drive. So yeah, Noles are on a losing streak to the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, and I heard if they beat them a third time, there's an escalator clause in Jeff Collins' contract. It extends his contract 3 more years.
Oh, I thought it meant Florida State gets relegated to the Sun Belt or something like that. But
I mean, that would be much funnier.
God, let's not talk about extending Jeff Collins' contract and six more weeks of winter or whatever that results in. I broke Mike.
We finally
got there. I broke Mike.
Under. We're going under.
I think it's Louisville, Boston under. College, Wake Forest in a row, all those are toss-up games. Like just total coin flips. I could see that going either way. Even at NC State, we expect NC State to be good. You get that game in Raleigh. I would think NC State is favored there, but, you know, maybe Florida State has improved some. I don't know. LSU was kind of a mess last year. I do think there'll be a little bit of an immediate bump with Brian Kelly, and especially, again, getting that game in New Orleans. Like, that's not – it's not really a tenable situation for expecting to win a game. So, you know, don't get too excited about that one, I would say.
Yeah, well, I would agree.
I think there's wins to be had here, and I think it really – it's, you know, the record will actually tell us a lot about the progress that's being made, because some of these games, they should be ready to start winning as this staff gets another year in place and another year of installing systems and shaping the roster and those kinds of things. So I'm going to take the over a 6.5. I think they go maybe 7-5. I think, again, it's a good number. So I would expect it to finish up within about a half game on either side. So, you know, take that for what it is.
Fair enough.
Last team at 6.5, Mike, is North Carolina, the Tar Heels. I have a good feeling that I'm going over on this one.
You are the resident North Carolina truther.
I am. Out of conference, home against Florida A&M, at App State, at Georgia State, home against Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame, you're not going to be favored against. There's a chance you could win that game. Sucks that you're going to – those are your four games you start the season with. Now, Notre Dame is coming off a bye week, but at App State, at Georgia State, you'll be favored in both of those games. Either one of them is losable. So I think you should go 3-1 there to start the year, and then all you got to do is go 4-4 in conference. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be able to do it. I've said that before. I've been wrong before. I think they'll go at least 7-5, so give me over with North Carolina.
I'll tell you, they made it look so easy last year with Sam Hartman. Wrong quarterback. Sam Howell.
We are definitely in midseason form here.
Good God. Under.
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 You're the real North Carolina truther here.
I hate North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Under. I just hate them. But I promise it comes from a good place. I just hate them.
You hate him. It comes from a good place, though. That's what's
important. It comes from a good place. Yeah, promise. Comes from a good place. But yeah. the last five games: Pitt, UVA, Wake, Georgia Tech, NC State.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to be absolutely sure they're going to come out with three wins there.
Some of that comes down to what you think of all the rest of those teams, and again, mm-hmm. most of this is just the ACC Coastal and just.
Right.
What do you make of any of this? So
it's just ACC weirdness.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I say that is because I think they start the year 3-0, Joey.
Mm-hmm.
And I think obviously Virginia Tech's winnable. Duke, you're going to be favored, right? So that's two more. So that's five. But with all that being said, like, the middle part of the schedule, I think lends itself to, like, a loss that you don't necessarily see coming, right? Like, year one Virginia Tech, for example. Maybe they pop up and beat you.
It's possible.
I mean, Georgia Tech in late November, look ahead game before you play a good NC State team at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a – so, I mean, there's potential slip-ups here. It's hard for me to see them, like, easily get to 7 or mm-hmm. easily get to 8. And, you know, there's a lot of questions. They've recruited extremely well. We know that. But those guys got to be developed, too. And it hasn't been the recruiting with Mack Brown. It's been the talent on the field has not played up to their expectations.
Yeah, talent development has been an issue.
Right. That's been the issue. And it's a doable schedule, like, to get to 7 or 8 wins, maybe more, you know, even, like, if they're having a really good year, you get, know, maybe more. But I struggle, man. There's some tough games in here. It's like, all right, great. You get through the three easier non-conference games. Oh, here comes Notre Dame, Chapel Hill.
Yep.
Oh, here comes Virginia Tech, year one. Like, they don't like North Carolina very much. Oh, okay. You beat Virginia Tech, good for you. Now you get to go to Miami, year one, crystal ball. Like, I don't know. It's just,
it makes sense. Tough stuff. The other thing I'm keeping in mind is that North Carolina's number last year was something like 9, and now it's down to 6.5. I mean, that's
abhorrent.
It's a significant difference there. So
we're talking about them as a playoff dark horse. I want to throw up. What are we doing?
I was so confident. It was a simpler time, Mike. It was a simpler time.
You didn't say that.
Not quite.
You did not call them a playoff team. You thought they would be good, but you weren't calling them a playoff team at all. I mean, God, you got some level of sanity.
I wasn't that deep in the Kool-Aid, that's for sure.
That's true. A couple more sips. I'm a little worried about you.
Yeah, we were close, though. That's okay.
They almost made it. Yeah. They almost missed a bowl game. But
Almost. Mike, you want to talk about some teams that did miss bowl games?
This is we get to start making sickos bets now.
Well, to be fair, this first team did not miss a bowl game. They just got embarrassed in a bowl game. That's all. Five and a half.
I'm just kidding. Do that again.
5.5 wins. The Louisville Cardinals. This feels low to me. And you know what? It's funny because I feel like I do this every year. We go through this exercise and I start looking at it and we get like halfway through the list and I'm like, I think I've picked almost every team so far to go under. And then we get to the low end of the list and I just start picking every team to go over. And yet, here we are. Give me the over with Louisville. I think they'll be good enough to at least make a bowl game. I don't think they'll be 5-7 or worse bad this year. I really don't.
I think they're going under. I think Satterfield's getting fired.
Ooh, spicy.
Spicy. Yeah, I mean, they better get their wins before October 8th. Because after the bye week, they might not win a game the rest of the season.
It's on the table. It's on the table.
Before you guys call me crazy, home against Pitt, home against Wake, home against James Madison, at Clemson, home against NC State, at Kentucky.
I mean, you had really better win the James Madison game, but that has been a like top 10 FCS program, and they'll be fired up to come into Cardinal Stadium. So,
good program.
Maybe can't totally put it past them. And that's a Sun Belt team now, actually. By the way, they're an FBS team this year, so that's another little dimension to that one.
Yep, they are joined. They've joined the FBS, and I now have an FBS team like 2 hours from my apartment. So that's pretty cool.
Good times.
I guess UVA too, but yeah. James Madison, yeah.
There's that.
Yeah.
Out of conference at UCF, home against South Florida, home against the Dukes of James Madison, and then on the road in Lexington against the dreadful, horrible Kentucky Wildcats. They're going to lose that game. Like, until further notice, they're just going to lose that game every year. They don't have the dudes in the trenches to hold up with Kentucky. Do not let me talk myself into them possibly winning that game later this year. Please don't let me do it.
I won't.
Okay, good.
I'll hold you accountable.
Can they go 6-6 here? I mean, you open at Syracuse, at UCF. Like, that could be 2-0. It could be 0-2.
It's 0-2. They're toast.
I'm personally not a huge... I'm not a huge believer in what Gus is doing down at UCF. Like, I don't think that they're going to be quite as menacing as they've been in recent years. And Louisville beat them at home in a pretty wild game last year at the last second. So there is that. South Florida should still be kind of a layup. This is the thing, is that the front half of the schedule is really just a ton of toss-up games. I mean, at Syracuse, at UCF, home against Florida State, home against South Florida, at Boston College, at Virginia. Like, I think it's pretty conceivable that Louisville wins or loses basically every single one of those games. Like, there's not one that I would really chalk up as a definite win, definite loss, other than I think they'll pretty definitely beat South Florida at home.
Yeah, I mean, South Florida is really the only one. At Syracuse, they should win, but that offense was improved last year. Louisville's defense was a bit up and down. Like, Garrett Schrader's capable of just, like, running over you. Like, nuts. So that's not an easy one to get on the road to open the year. Yeah, like, South Florida's the one. After that, you got toss-up games till the middle of October. Like, that's what the season's going to be for Louisville. Like, I just got a lot of questions, and the back half of the schedule is tough. Like, I don't think they'll go 0-6, but it's on the table. And I'm just going under. I think Satterfield's getting fired. I think this is it. That's my take.
And it's a valid one. Like, that is a possibility. I just don't think they're going to miss a bowl game. I think they'll be at least 6-6. So I'll take the over. Remember how good Malik Cunningham is and has been? Like, you got him back. You're missing Tyler Harrell. He transferred out, and that's a pretty big loss, I think, for your offensive firepower. But, like, you know, they did not have problems scoring points last year in a lot of cases. You know, their bigger issues tended to be on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, so that becomes a bit of a question this year, and can they get that right? But, I mean, they played a lot of close and good games. I mean, they lost back-to-back games in early October to Wake Forest and Virginia by a grand total of 4 points. Like,
yep.
You finish 6-6. That's the difference between that and 8-4, right? Is like one possession of your defense coming up with a stop in both of those games. So I don't think they're going to be 5-7 or worse bad. So give me the over 5.5.
Yep.
Fair enough. Three more, Mike. We got two teams at 4.5. You want to start with my Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets?
Let's do it.
Again, as I mentioned earlier, and I think what we're going to get to when we get to previews is my take on Georgia Tech this year is largely that total staff changeover. I believe 8 of the 10 assistants are new this year. The problem is that one of the two returning assistants is defensive coordinator Andrew Thacker. I don't really know how that works. So he's back, but otherwise, you know, pretty much total changeover of all the other assistants, for better or worse. You've got a new offensive coordinator in Chip Long, a guy who seems like he really has a much better idea of what he's doing running an offense than Dave Patnode ever did. You've got, you know, plenty of an infusion of talent. Like, I know what this team has been and how disappointing they've been and how much they've looked like they're not coached and they're not organized and they don't know what they're doing. And yet, there is... If you really choose to believe that, like, it's going to be different this year, there's a lot of reasons that you could talk yourself into it. Like, and so I'm almost of the mindset that there's basically no middle ground here for Georgia Tech between, like, 3 wins and 6 wins. Like, either they're going to be significantly better or they're not. And that's kind of it for me. And I just feel like at this point, the smart play is to take the under 4.5. Like, I've seen what this Collins era has been for a while now. Maybe it's different, but I think the smart thing, if I'm just, you know, playing the odds and taking a guess, probably to go under. And that's before, Mike, we even talk about the schedule, which, again, you open up against Clemson on Labor Day night. You then host Western Carolina, and then you host Ole Miss. And then later you've got a road game at Georgia in the non-conference. And not to mention, then also after that Ole Miss game, you got a road trip to Orlando to take on that UCF team we were just talking about. So, as mentioned again, this is a schedule that looks like it was made by someone who hates Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
So I, you know, if I'm trying to do the smart thing here, probably taking the under.
That is the smart thing. Under. I'm going under as well. I think Georgia Tech can win 4. I think they'll probably just win 3. That'll be it. I think they can win 4. I think they can beat Western Carolina. I think they can beat Duke. I think they could potentially sneak up on either UVA or Virginia Tech. And then if you're splitting with those teams, then you got to either pick off at Pitt or at Florida State. Like, that's how you get to 4. It's just a hard schedule. I mean, it's a hard schedule. Clemson's a loss. Ole Miss is a loss. At UCF, probably a loss. You better beat Western Carolina. at Pitt could be a toss up, you know, depending on what the offense looks like with Keaton Slovis, you know, could potentially be a toss up, but they're going to be an underdog going on the road. Duke is going to be really bad, so you got to win that game. Bye week. We just talked about UVA a couple minutes ago, right? They could either be pretty good with Brennan Armstrong, or defense could struggle again. Maybe Armstrong either regresses or gets hurt. You know, he's had injury issues. At Florida State, toss up. At Virginia Tech, toss up. But then you're probably losing the last three games: Miami, North Carolina, and Georgia. You're going on the road for two of those three. At UNC, at Georgia, at the end of the year, home against Miami. It's like, okay, that's good to get that game at home, but that's, you're not going to be favored in that one either. I'm just going under. They can get to four.
Yeah.
I think anything other than four, like they get to five or six, it's an unbelievable year. Just given the schedule, it's a great year, in my opinion.
It becomes a combination of, again, significant improvement on the coaching staff, and then also some pretty significant drop off from certain folks within the ACC. Again, there's a lot of changeover this year. A few new coaches, a bunch of new quarterbacks, like, and that includes, like, you know, Ole Miss has a new quarterback. I believe UCF has a new quarterback. You know, like, there's a lot of this kind of changeover newness on the schedule that could also produce some pretty wonky results in some places. So, I think there is kind of a pretty significantly higher ceiling this year than there has been in recent years, but the floor is probably in the same exact place it's been the whole time. So, you know, time will tell if the new coaching staff can get you closer to the ceiling than it has been.
Yep, I agree.
Also at 4.5, Mike, the Syracuse Orange. How we feeling? How we feeling about Syracuse? Are we gonna ride this Garrett Schrader wave of whatever that was for the final eight games of the year, and they go 5-7 again?
I mean, they're playing a team called the Wagner Seahawks in week 5. So it's on the table. I mean, UConn's winnable. UVA with their defense is winnable. The Wagner game, obviously winnable.
Is Wagner one of the main rivals for Bishop Sycamore? I got him again. I broke him again. God.
My fantasy football team name in all my leagues this year was Bishop Sycamore.
Excellent. If you know, you know.
Yeah, if you know, you know. I'm going under here too. I'm going under here too. I think they won four.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're going to be able to repeat some of those tricks from last year. This is a bit of a tricky out of conference game with Purdue in week 3. That's a very losable game. Notre Dame, obviously, you're not going to be favored in that game by any stretch of the imagination. You get a game, obviously, on the road at Clemson, being a divisional opponent. That's a week after NC State. I mean, that's probably the worst three-game stretch any team has in this conference on their schedule. Home against NC State, at Clemson, home against Notre Dame, all in a row. Thankfully, you get the bye week and the Wagner game before that. So there's that.
Get two bye weeks.
Yeah, hopefully. Don't mess that up.
Maybe three if you count UVA.
Yeah, I'm gonna go under. I think, well, I don't know, man. Like, UConn and Wagner should be layups. Virginia is winnable at home. You get that in the Carrier Dome, or we still calling it the Carrier Dome? What is it now?
The JMA Wireless Dome.
The JMA Wireless Dome. That sounds way less corporate. But even so then, yeah, sketchy. I mean, your final seven games, NC State, Clemson, Notre Dame, Pittsburgh, Florida State, Wake Forest, Boston College, you might lose your final seven games. So,
yeah.
Let's go under 4.5 for Syracuse. Yeah. I don't think they're getting to five necessarily again.
Yeah. Under is a safe play there.
And then again, we go right back to the existential question we get to every year: does Dino get fired? And we'll get there. So,
yeah. I mean, we've been asking that since we started the podcast almost.
Mike, last one, Duke at 3.5. I feel like this is an
under.
Easy one. Yeah,
just under. I mean, under. They might not win a game.
I'm impressed at the Mike Elko hire. I like that.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, you get a home game against North Carolina A&T. They might have a better roster than you do in certain spots, at least.
Right.
You got to make a road trip to a Kansas team that is pretty clearly improving, I think, under a pretty good coaching staff in Lance Leipold. The problem is they got a year head start on you. So,
right.
I don't think they're going to go 0-12. I'll be surprised if they go better than 2-10. So I feel pretty good about the under here as well.
Yeah, I mean, you can't name 4 wins.
Mm-hmm. And if you can probably guarantee when Jeff Collins is getting fired, if I had to guess.
Yeah, that's the one conference game they're picking on.
A little correlated parlay there of
Duke
win total over and Jeff Collins firing date. Yeah, that's worth looking at if you got a book that'll honor one of those.
Just find yourself the right book that you'll honor anything.
Yeah. You know? Mike, those are our win totals, all 15 of them, including Notre Dame. I'm sure we're going to be correct about every single one of them, even the ones that we disagreed on. So hopefully the people can take that to the bank and make themselves some money. We are an hour and 15 minutes into this podcast, so let's go ahead and talk about kind of what comes next and wrap it up. So, Mike, we are going to jump in and start doing previews. And, again, we are recording this the evening of June the 13th. And if you're thinking to yourself, that is early for these guys to start doing their previews and preview season, you're correct. But that's because we've got some stuff going on in life, Mike. I believe we've told the people what's going on in your life, if I'm not mistaken.
By the time this podcast is out, actually, I believe we will have our baby.
Yeah, you'll be out on paternity leave. We have checked with HR and confirmed that we do have a paternity leave policy on this year podcast. So you will be off doing that, tending to your wonderful newborn baby boy and your wonderful, incredible wife after that whole thing. So that will be happening. And so
better her than me. Am I right?
Absolutely. Every time.
Yes. Every damn time.
So you're going to be out for a little bit. And so as you are out, I am going to start working on some of the preview episodes, interviewing guests kind of solo. I'm going to aim to do around half of them and get those going and kind of give you the space and the time to be out and be with your family. And then Mike, when you come back, something I don't believe that we've told the people is then I got to go out on paternity leave.
Again?
Yeah, Charlie is going to have a little sister. We're thinking somewhere in the mid-August time frame. So there might be a little bit of time where we can kind of cross over, do a couple episodes together with some folks. But chances are you're going to be closing out a preview season for the most part by yourself, doing the same thing that I'll be doing. But I'll be tending to my baby and wife and toddler and dogs as well. So that's, you know, it'll be a real circus of a house going.
I was gonna say, yeah, Ringling Brothers. Yeah.
But I will certainly be planning on being back for like final preview season preview stuff and like week one preview, depending on how timing works out and you know, you never know with these things. So that's what's going on in our lives and kind of what has resulted in what will be a different looking preview season. But we do intend to continue kind of recording through this and keeping the content coming for the people. So keep it tuned here.
We're old. We're having kids. This is what happens.
Mm-hmm. As we said, a lot of life changes since we started this podcast.
Yes.
Both, you know, we started this podcast now, I guess it was technically about 6 years ago on the calendar. But also since we started this podcast an hour and 18 minutes ago, we've, you know, plenty of life changes.
Yes.
You never know.
That's right.
But anyways, yeah, so that's what's coming up here in the next few weeks. So, you know, wish everyone luck. Obviously, best of luck to you, Mike, and to Kate and everybody, you know, as it'll be a new change, a new stage of life. But, you know, hopefully a fun and exciting one.
As ready as I'm going to be.
You have no idea.
I don't.
Meanwhile, we're getting dangerously close to switching off of man coverage into zone coverage, which that'll be an interesting switch as well.
So Call up Ted Roof.
Exciting times. Yeah. certainly wouldn't call it well, hopefully it's not the Jeff Collins defense with some of the zone coverage we've seen on that team. So I'm just going to keep getting these shots in wherever I can.
That's right.
Mike, that's all I've got. Anything else before we get out of here and start working on some of these solo team previews?
Go check out the article. I don't know how old it'll be by the time this podcast is published, but go check out the Georgia Tech mock draft of coaches on From the Rumble Seat. There are some
hypothetical,
surprises.
Yeah, hypothetical head coach mock draft.
There are some surprises.
There are. We had a lot of fun making that. I appreciate the guys for welcoming me in on that. I asked them, like, hey, can we do this? Can I join? This sounds like fun. And sure enough, it was. We had a lot of fun with it. So go check that out.
Yep.
Mike, let's work on getting out of here as you're going to go be a dad, and then we'll talk to you again soon.
Yep.
All right. Until then, we're on Twitter. I'm at FTRSJoey. He is at Mike McDaniel, SI. Together, we're at BC Podcast ACC. You can send us an email with your questions, your comments, your concerns to the longest email address known to man, basketballconferencepodcast@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
Thank you. Certainly, if you have questions that you want us to get to in preview season for one of your schools, hit us up. You know, we're all about that, and helps make our job easier and gives you the content that you want. So let us know if there's something that you want us to talk to somebody about. Mike, they can find us on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere that we can find podcasts out there on the internet. Go find us there. You want to tell them where else they can find us in the social medias?
Facebook.com/basketballconference. Rate, review, find all of our podcasts there. Joey.
Please do. Please do. Appreciate
my
those
voice guys. Is struggling. My voice is struggling.
Your voice is struggling, and my light just turned off, which I think tells me that it is probably time to wrap this up.
About the time.
Mike, it's been fun. Good luck. Look forward to hearing about how it went, and hope everyone ends up, you know, happy, healthy, safe, all that. Good luck, and hopefully enjoy your first few days as a father.
Yeah, I'll do my best. We'll see what happens. It'll be something.
It's an absolute blast. You never knew how little you need sleep. You'll find out.
I'm going to find out. I thought us recording late at night was the barometer. It's not.
I look forward to some 3 a.m. recordings when we're both awake.
Because I can't wait.
It seems normal.
The Saturday Night Fever recaps are going to be back, and only because our kids are up.
And we'll have actual fevers.
Yes, and we'll be dying. Other than that, yeah, we'll see what happens.
We'll see. Mike, good luck. We'll talk again soon.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, until then, for Mr. Mike McDaniel, I am Joey Weaver. Thank you guys so much for listening. Here's to a great season 7. Here we go. We will talk to you again soon. And until then, go ACC. Oh, yeah!